This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. Good morning and welcome to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. How are you this morning, Charlie Dobbin?
Oh, man, it is a beautiful, crispy morning at my place.
Is the snow falling?
Oh, no, there's no... Is it snowing at your place?
It is, yeah. It's snowing in the Collingwood area. Yeah, for sure. Not where you are.
Tomorrow.
Okay, yes.
I'm going to get snow tomorrow. No, yeah. Not a cloud here. It's all sunny, but is it ever crisp? I think it's about minus 15 right now.
Yeah, so we have the same temperature. We're about minus 14, 15 as well, and which is crazy because I don't know where you were. Yesterday, it was sitting pretty much right at zero, between zero and plus one, negative one, right in that area there.
Yeah, and overnight...
Yeah.
Down. Yeah, it's very interesting here. It's kind of so much wind. I think all of Ontario had some crazy, crazy wind this past week, and the mild temperatures. So the snow, we had a great amount of snow, but then it all moved around in the wind. And one of the funniest mornings I woke up that it had snowed so much, the wind had blown snowballs. It was like the gods were preparing us for a really big snowball fight. There was thousands of snowballs all over where I live because it's so open and windy, and the snow rolled. It was mild enough. It didn't just blow into drifts. It rolled into balls. I'll send you a photograph.
Please do. I don't know that I've ever seen that. That's very interesting.
I have never seen that. Trust me.
Yes, we have certainly also noticed the, I'll call it erosion of the snow. We have areas in our front yard that have very, very little just because of how that snow comes, you know, from the west and scoots along, and it just carries it further along. And so, but we have other areas. It depends on the portion of the yard. So, but some of the plants, most of our plants are quite well protected.
Right. Yeah. Well, I do have some drifts, and I'm hoping. Yeah. The plants have had an interesting winter. The worst, of course, is when it's really cold and there's no snow. So the fact that we do have some and it's piled wherever it's piled is a good thing. And spring will tell us how things have made it through the winter, really.
Yeah, tomorrow Groundhog Day.
Yes, I know. Yes, happy February, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, you know what we're going to do? I know you have announcements. However, we're almost at break time. So I'm going to give out the numbers. We'd love for you to give us a call. And then when we come back, Charlie, I'll hand it over to you to make your announcements, okay? So our numbers to call, if you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. If you live outside Toronto, but anywhere within the province of Ontario, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Do let our producer Owen know if you're a first-time caller, because then I will give you the garden wings. We love to do that. Please call often, call early, and here's an important one as well. Please, one question per call, okay? We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we are back here on The Garden Show on this first day of February. Here we are. It's hard to believe, Charlie, that we have already got in the memory books our first month of 2025.
Yes. So I'm just laughing. I'm wondering if we want to really remember January or not.
Maybe not.
It has been nice to have a real winter. Last year it was so mild and so green. This year I've been out cross-country skiing. I've just been enjoying, you know, the sculptures that the wind makes with the snow. Like it's pretty fun. I love winter. And you gotta love winter.
Yes. And you know what? If we do not have a winter, everybody complains about the fact that we haven't had a winter. So then when we do have a winter, you can't really complain on the other side.
We're having winter.
And so, I agree with you. You know what? If it's going to be winter, bring on the snow. Yeah. Give us lots of snow, and we've had that. Right. So, in fact, in our area, I was telling Owen before the show that we had Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Simcoe and Gray County were all bus cancellation days. I think the Gray County, so it's just to the west of us, has already this winter had something like 24 snow days, cancellation days for school since winter started.
Even this week, it might have been Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It was definitely Monday, Tuesday were snow days here. And it wasn't, it was because of the wind and the drifting on the roads. Really,
it was as well here.
The snow had already fallen at that point. It was just moving around. Okay, so listen, everybody, with your pencils poised to write down some of these upcoming events, because, you know, spring, it's feeling pretty springy. The days are definitely getting longer. So it's time to, you know, get meeting some of our fellow gardeners. This might not necessarily be in the order of the calendar, but it's a reminder that the Orchid Show is happening. That'll be next weekend at the Toronto Botanical Gardens, brought to you by the Southern Ontario Orchid Society. Very cool show. Saturday, noon to 5, Sunday, 11 until 4. So that's Toronto Botanical Gardens on the 8th and 9th. Following that, on February the 12th, in two places, we've got Zoom events. So you can sit at home, cozy, by the fire with your cup of tea. Burlington Hort Society is bringing you Anna Leggett, very, very, very smart person, speaking to you on the subject of vegetable gardening in containers. So Zoom only, February 12th, 7 p.m. for a link to participate and, you know, sit in on that meeting. Everybody's welcome. Burl Hort Sock. So BURLHORTSOC, Burl Hort Sock at gmail.com for the link. And of course, Riverdale Hort Society is also meeting same night, same time. And they're also by Zoom or in person. So that's in Toronto, Wednesday, February 12th. Orchids, brought to you by Tina Van Andel, a very entertaining and wise master gardener. For getting that Zoom link, you'll go to info@riverdalehorticultural.ca. So that's the 12th. And then the 10th, so 2 days earlier, Agent Court Garden Club. Everybody's back at the meetings and salivating for spring. Zoom meeting with Agent Court, 7 p.m., February 10th. A guy named Dave Hawk. So I don't know Dave. He's speaking on wildflowers, their names and meanings, which is kind of cool. For information for that link, send your email to Cheryl, so Cheryl.Penner, P-E-N-N-E-R, at hotmail.com.
Okay, okay. Let's jump to our first caller. Charlie, we have Jean on the line from Newmarket. Welcome to the Garden Show, Jean.
Good morning to the two of you. Charlie, I'm wanting to suggest that you and I start an amaryllis rescue society.
Are you having good luck with amaryllis?
Oh, I guess you say so. because of you. Now, I was going to throw it out the first year, but because of you, we're on 4 years now, and it's doing really well. My question, please, is twofold. One, it's 26 inches tall with four beautiful blooms. I'm not bragging. I'm in shock. And it's starting to lean, and the husband wants to prop it up with something. Is that necessary?
You know, it's interesting. They do get awfully tall, and they do get top heavy. So I have taken, well, there's two things. One is you can cut that flower stem. It's hollow, right? You can cut that flower stem off and treat it as a cut flower, and it will last phenomenally long in water, actually longer in water than on the plant. So that's one way to enjoy the flower. The other is, I've been known to pull out some stakes, very, very skinny, trying to make them kind of invisible stakes. And be careful you don't pierce the bulb if you do put a stake of any kind into the pot. So you're in the soil only, not into the bulb. And then, with just a little, you know, again, sort of invisible string or a ribbon or something, I prop it in the sense of keeping it from falling over. The top heaviness, they will flop sometimes. And once they flop, that they're toast. They're going down, the flowers.
I'm interested in cutting it. How far down? And do I do it on an angle or straight across?
Straight across is fine, and it doesn't matter where you do it. Ultimately, where you cut it off, the rest of the flower stem will turn yellow and shrivel down to the bulb, just like it would if the flower had finished blooming. And you will eventually remove the entire flower stem, but leave the leaves, of course.
you know, what, like, can I put it in a glass? And how often do I change the water?
I treat it like you would treat, you know, your husband giving you, bringing home a single rose to show his love for you. You're going to treat it just like that. So it's
shocked.
A single stem in a vase with obviously room temperature water. And, okay. And yeah, it should last. The cooler the temperatures in your house, don't put it in direct sunlight, put it in a bright spot. It could last 10 days, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks.
Thanks for the call there, Gene. We would love for you to give us a call. The numbers to call if you live in Toronto are 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Okay, don't delay. Give us a call right now. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed, we're back here on The Garden Show. And again, we have lots of room on the lines. And, you know, you might have an indoor gardening question. It could be about a potted plant. You could be planning ahead, you know, an amaryllis question. You know, what I was thinking about earlier this week, Charlie, was seeds, starting seeds in the house. And I think there, it seems to me that you can start different seeds in different time, different months. Is that right?
Yeah, you have to. Some seeds are much slower to germinate. And sometimes we grow seeds to become plants that will flower. And so some plants are slower to produce flowers. Flowers emerge on a plant that is mature. So a good example would be geraniums. If you wanted to start geraniums from seed, you would plant those seeds back at Christmas in order to have flowers in June.
Oh, okay.
Right? So if you planted them now in February, it just means you'll get some flowers, but it'll be July. And usually we plant geraniums because we want flowers for the whole season.
Yes.
But don't be planting your tomato seeds yet because it's just too early. They will be way too tall and way too what we call leggy by the time we're frost-free. Because most of the things we start from seed are tender plants, right? Yeah. One thing I am doing right now, the price of produce gets very expensive in this time of year. You know, everybody loves a salad, but if you can't afford the lettuce, then it's not much of a salad. So I do grow indoors in my kitchen. I grow lettuce, leaf lettuce from seed. I grow microgreens. So that's seeds packed together really, really tight where you, as soon as they germinate, you take your scissors and cut them off and eat them and let them keep growing. And I also grow sprouts. So sprouts are in a jar, you know, alfalfa sprouts, mung beans, that sort of thing. So beans in a jar with a special little sieve opening on it. So it's not closed tight. It's not wide open. And you run some water into the jar once a day or so. And within 3 or 4 days, you got a jar full of sprouts that, you know, add to salads, add to smoothies, add to anything to chow down. The ones I have on the go right now are called the Go-Go Blend. I love it. The Go-Go Blend are my sprouts that I'm growing right now. And it's called Go-Go because it's like mustard seeds. And I forget, I can look it up there. It's real tasty stuff in that blend. Nice.
Well, I'm going to ask you in a few minutes where you get them. But right now, let's go to our next caller. We've got Brian on the line. And Brian is calling from Thornton. Welcome to The Garden Show, Brian.
Good morning. And to Charlie and to all on listeners, I'm looking to inquire if Charlie or any listeners would have a source of Morden series chrysanthemums. They seem to be elusive in Ontario. I've been phoning all nurseries that I can locate on the web and have been not able to find a source of plugs or cuttings or plants other than a source in Manitoba. Unfortunately, don't ship to Ontario. So it's a problem. They're a wonderful series. They're, I think, just about 6 or 7 in the Morden series. And I'd certainly like to get some cuttings or some lead on where to find these things.
Okay. Well, you know what? I guess it's not too surprising. They're only available in Manitoba because, of course, that's where the Morden experimental farm is located and has been for the last 100 years. So a lot of really interesting plants have come out of Manitoba. And we know that the conditions in which those plants are bred and raised and selected are pretty extreme conditions, you know, lots of cold, lots of snow, lots of wind. And so, yeah, many of the Morden plants go back a long ways. You just might, I'm afraid to say, Brian, you might have to get in your car and drive to Manitoba. Now, you might not want to drive now, but if you're not able to get them in Ontario and they won't ship to Ontario, I'm just looking quickly on the web because I don't, you know, it's a good question and I've never had it before. I'm seeing Lowy's or Lowy's Greenhouse, which you've probably found the same stuff I'm seeing here. Creekside Home and Garden. And these are all carrying one form or the other. Saskatchewantoday.ca has a whole column on Morden mums, which are most suited to the prairie environment. The Ron Paul Garden Center. So these are Baju Van Stone nurseries. These are Cornhill nurseries. So these are obviously prairie nurseries. And like I said, it might just be a good excuse for a road trip. Get out there, go out in, you know, April if you can, and or May, when these things will be available for sale in the garden centers there. And then you can bring some home and start up your own nursery. What gets you turned on to them so much, Brian, that you want them just because they're lovely?
Well, they are a wonderful series, and unfortunately, I don't think I'll be able to do a road trip to Manitoba at this time, but I thank you for the information. The several that you did mention, I have been in contact with already, and again, it's the shipping issue. So mm-hmm. I didn't try anyone in Saskatchewan, so that'll be my next move, and see if we can find some of these series to get growing in the garden.
Yeah, so it's too bad. So they're not set up for live plant shipping, which is a bit of an art unto itself. If for anybody who's ever ordered live plant material to be mailed to your home, it's got to be packed. These plants have to be packed properly and shipped in a timely manner, obviously. And not every grower or retailer is set up for such a thing. But I wonder, you never know, somebody who's listening from Manitoba or Saskatchewan might be listening right now and might have a suggestion. So, you know, good on you to call. You never know who's listening and who might have a suggestion. So hopefully we can help you out eventually.
Well, thank you very much for your taking the call and your suggestions.
Thanks
My
very
pleasure.
Much there, Brian.
Take it easy.
I was just thinking, Charlie, you know, we could, you know, we have these, there's been situations where people are traveling from province to province for a reason, and they, you know, they'll take a package or they'll take something, and who knows, you could have a listener out there who's got a relative or something that's coming from Manitoba, you know, and could bring some of these chrysanthemums over to Ontario.
I think they call them mules when they carry stuff. I mean, I always think of the drugs, right? It's
Right. Yes.
So just to be clear, Brian is not looking for any kind of illegal materials. He just wants some very specific plants. But you never know. Somebody might be listening and be willing to help out.
Fabulous. Numbers to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Of course, part of our mantra that we say every morning is to one question per call, please, and then to call back. And, you know, we always appreciate when that happens. And Gene has called us back from Newmarket. Welcome back to the show, Gene.
Thank you, you two. You're always so welcoming. Charlie, I've had this amaryllis for 4 years, and I'm ashamed to say I have never repotted it. I fertilize it as per your directions, but is it time to fertilize it? It's in an 8-inch pot, and it's been that way since we got it.
Okay. Yes, when it's flowering, which it is now, definitely yes, start a fertilizing program for your plant. It just will help with flowers next year. Follow the instructions. I personally wouldn't fertilize more than once a month. So if you start now, you will fertilize right through until June or July and stop then. No more fertilizer after that. And do not worry about repotting. It's amaryllis like to be all crammed together in a pot. Often you get daughter bulbs growing off the mother bulb. I've got a couple sitting beside me here where there's three or four bulbs all jammed into a 6-inch pot. But they're happy. There's no roots growing out the bottom. Don't think about repotting.
Well, I don't have any babies growing with my plant. I'm jealous.
You will. You will. You will. Okay. Mine are more than 4 years old.
Okay, thanks very much.
One last, please. Should I top it up? The soil is going down and down on the bulb.
Yeah, what I would probably, yeah, you can. Remember, you want a third of the bulb out of the soil. So if the soil has dropped down and you've got a half of the bulb sticking out of the soil, then sure, add that half inch, like no more than half inch of fresh potting mix to the top, to the surface of the pot right now.
Thank you.
Okay, Bye. Thanks again, Jean. Have a happy February, and we'll talk to you in weekends to come, I'm sure. Our next caller is Douglas on the line. He's calling from Parry Sound. Douglas. Welcome to the Garden Show, Douglas.
Hello. Thank you for calling. My question today is about ever-bearing strawberries. Can I plant them in the earth and store them like ordinary strawberries over the winter to cover them up, or they need special treatment?
No, they're treated exactly the same as regular strawberries. Remember, when the commercial growers will typically use straw as a way to not only provide insulation around the strawberries, but also to keep the soil and the plants somewhat separated, so that when the, of course, the strawberry plants will flower and form berries, and that'll all happen in late spring. It's nice if we can have those berries riding up above the muddy spring soil and have them riding more on the straw. So, you can do that. It just kind of, you're in Parry Sound. So in your case, I would do that. I would do some kind of a winter mulch for them that you'll put around the strawberries in October, and you'll move aside in the spring as things start to sprout. But otherwise treat them the same. Lots and lots of sun, protect from birds and everybody else who wants to eat your strawberries.
Excellent. So I can just leave the strawberry mat alone and let it disintegrate around it. I don't take strawberry mat off in the spring.
Yep, exactly. Just pick a nice spot with good fertile soil and full sun, 6 hours minimum of sun a day.
Excellent. Thank you very kindly.
Thanks very much there, Douglas. Charlie, speaking of birds, a couple of things. Well, first of all, of course, our big sponsor we've got is Urban Nature Stores, Paul Oliver. And we've got the bird count coming up, of course, next weekend as well. Two weekends from now.
Two weekends.
Yeah. And do you remember what that website is? It birdcount.org?
Yes, it is. So if you want to look for it, just start your Google search with the word great, because it's the Great Backyard Bird Count. And it's international. Yeah. Happens all over the world for 4 days. And yes, it is birdcount.org. It is obviously a nonprofit when it says .org at the end there. And it's brought to us, the Cornell Lab, the Audubon Society, and of course here in Canada, Birds Canada are one of the sponsors. And it's a very fun way to get involved in counting birds and identifying. I mean, we all know what a cardinal looks like, but do you know what a nuthatch looks like, or junco looks like, or cowbird? I birds is like, oh, another one of those brown birds. Wonder what it's called.
I know I texted you earlier in the week, but we had a rather interesting happenstance in our yard, because one of my sons spotted a bird on top of a bird outside in the yard. And when we took a closer look at it, it was a small hawk who had come down and captured a bird near the feeder. I guess it was it was a fair ways away, but sort of sat a perched atop of it for about 10 minutes before flying off with it. Mm-hmm. And I'd never seen that before outside of my feeders.
I know, that's where you sort of go, I love feeding birds, but when I first started feeding birds, 20 years ago, I had a very young cat. And it was like, gosh, am I just setting up like a cat feeding station? Attracting these birds into your yard, these beautiful songbirds and sometimes not so beautiful songbirds, but you're attracting them, and then you attract their predators as well.
You do as well. Yes, it's part of as you replied to me, it's the circle of life. I mean, it is what they do.
Yeah, and a hawk, is a natural predator. Yeah. A cat is not, and that is one of the things about cats that bird lovers sometimes are very much anti cats because of the amount of damage cats do for no reason other than that they're driven to do it. They don't often eat the birds, but do they? Sometimes they do. It depends on the cat. But
I have to say there are fewer and fewer outdoor cats these days. When I was growing up, everybody let their cat outside. Mm-hmm. I think a lot less people do that. They keep cats are are typically indoors now. It's very seldom in my neighborhood that I'll ever see a cat running across the street. So I have to say I've never seen one outside our bird feeders.
I wonder if it's got to do with the coyote population. Because when we were kids, there weren't coyotes.
No, that's true. I have always thought, and I could be wrong, I've always thought that one of the reasons is that, of course, if you let your cat outside, you have more incidence of, you know, fleas and worms and all these things. Mm. And then you're off to the vet and you're having to do this by keeping them indoors and injuries. Mm. And by having them inside, you just have less of that problem. So I suspect that is one of the reasons people just keep them inside now.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's hard sometimes because cats are driven, like they want to be outside. So it's hard to keep them inside sometimes. But when I had that young cat and I was feeding birds and I realized the twain do not meet, I got a lot of different bells. And my cat was trained. He didn't go outside until all his bells were all over his body. I mean, seriously, right. Like his neck, his tail, his feet, everything. He was covered in bells. And then he went out and spent the day outside all tinkling. And at 9 p.m., he came in and all his bells came off and he was in for the night until he realized that none of his friends were wearing bells.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I'm feeling a bit weird about all these bells.
Yeah, he's going, yeah, I'm sure he loved all those bells. Yeah, like being the one cat sent to school covered in bells.
Exactly. So I had to, at that point, I slowed down a bit on the bells, but he didn't catch any birds.
No, but he did not. let's go to our next caller. We've got Anne on the line from Mississauga. Welcome to the Garden Show, Anne.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Morning.
What do you got for Charlie there?
First, I want to tell you guys that I love your show, and this is my first time calling a radio station.
Oh, great. Well, there you go. We got the garden chimes for you there.
Welcome.
Thank you. My question is related to how to water an orchid. I have many orchids, and I heard that I need to soak them. I soaked one, but now I see the roots, and those aerial roots are moldy. So how should I water them, and how can I save my moldy plant now?
Okay, so that's interesting. So the roots that are aerial, you mentioned, so they're the ones above ground, are moldy. So are you telling me if you run your fingers along those roots, white stuff comes off on your fingers?
Yes, I can see the mold. They are at the, they are lying on the soil. They are not above the soil, but those that are touching the soil.
Okay. Yeah, and of course, it's not really soil, it's bark, right, that your orchids
are. Yeah, whatever is there, yes.
Okay. I have never seen that. So I'm wondering why. These are orchids that are in the proper media. They're either in a moss or a bark. There's no soil in the pots, right?
No. I bought them from the garden center. So they are in a plastic pot and then in a porcelain pot.
Okay. And what I would do, if you're having issues with mold, do you have is your house particularly humid? Do you have a humidifier going?
No. It actually is really dry. My thought is that I kept them too much in water, and then some water accumulated in the porcelain pots.
Okay. So that's a good point. So let's just walk through this. When it's time to water our orchids, and we're going to water by submerging the pot into a pail of water, it's important to remember that we have a nice big pail of water, room temperature, so it's been sitting outside for, out on the counter, whatever, for overnight at least. We take our pot, just the plastic pot. Of course, the orchid is in a plastic pot in a porcelain. Leave the porcelain behind, grab the plastic pot, take the whole plant, pot and all, and slowly submerge it, pot first, into the pail of water. As you start to take that pot down, you're holding it, you're dropping it down into the water, air bubbles are going to come out like crazy out of the pot as the water fills in where the air is between the chunks of bark. So down, 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 slowly. If it's a small enough orchid and a big enough pail, you can go right down and have the leaves go underwater as well. And last week, one of our callers said, but all the bark floated out of my pot. What do I do? Then I got a great email from one of our listeners, and she said what she does is she's just got small river rocks or sometimes decorative gravel, chunky gravel, sitting on top of her bark in her orchid pots. So when she does the submersion, down the pots go, but the little pebbles hold the bark in place. So it doesn't all float out when she's doing her submersion. But as soon as the air bubbles have stopped rising, so that's maybe a minute, maybe 30 seconds, the plant comes out of the pot, sorry, out of the water, out of the pail, and the plant sits in the sink while the water drains out. No, then it goes back into its porcelain pot. Never let them sit in water. So if you're in that situation right now where it's all sat in too much water and there's now some moldiness, get that plant out of the porcelain pot. Get it sitting out somewhere where there's lots of air, lots of indirect bright sunshine hitting that plant, and it's allowed to dry right down. You're probably going to have to snip out some of the moldy stuff, brown, black, anything that's really mush. You're going to snip it out. Worst case, you're going to actually take the whole plant out of the pot, and that will be your best way to have it actually survive. But by perhaps pulling it out of the pot, cleaning it all up, putting it back into the pot with some fresh bark, again, it might be something that it'll survive. Just depends how far gone it is right now.
Okay, and, thanks very much. Thanks very much for the call there. Yeah, we have to run to break, but we'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
I love this show because I love the listeners. Thanks, everybody. People who are listening to the show right now are hearing some of the questions that we don't have the definitive answers for and are making suggestions. So number one, Cheryl came back and suggested that Brian, who was looking for the Morden series chrysanthemums, should just join the Chrysanthemum and Dahlia Society here in Ontario. And through that society, very good suggestion, Cheryl. Good, you will meet other people who have great access to great materials and ideas and have contacts all over the world. So join, very simple to join the Chrysanthemum and Dahlia Society here in Ontario. And then looking at the garden, the farm, the grower that Maureen indicated as a great place to get mums, called very simply Singing Meadows. What a nice name, Singing Meadows. So this is a woman who apparently is president of the society, the Dahlia and Mum Society. They sell all kinds of dahlias and all kinds of chrysanthemum cuttings, and they are based in Orangeville on Settlers Road. So send them an email for more information, Singing Meadows Farm. That's one word. @gmail.com, but they have a great website. These are all really good suggestions on how to, go. You've got something you really, really want and you're looking for it. You just don't want any old dahlia. You want something special. Then there's some great suggestions from other listeners and fans. And seriously, joining a society, if you're very keen on a specific plant, there's a society for you. An opportunity to meet fellow hobbyists, on to, sometimes it can be a bit obsessive, but still people who really love growing the same plants that you love growing. And so it's a great way to learn from them and share with them and just, get busy trying new things.
Charlie.
Dean. Oh, hello.
Yeah, Charlie, I was just wondering if we can talk orchids again for a minute, because I know that we've got the orchid show coming up. I know that you've been to the orchid show a great many times. I went for the first time last year, and I was so impressed by it. And, of course, the phalaenopsis are the kind that you see in the grocery store all the time. But if you want to buy something maybe a little bit different, of course, there are lots of vendors there as well. And you can go home with a gorgeous orchid and something, of course, you're not going to find in the grocery store.
Right. But also make sure you don't just spontaneously drop $300 on an amazing orchid if you don't have the right conditions for that plant.
Right.
And that's right. And one of the great things about the orchid show is that people will help you. They won't sell you a $300 plant unless you have the right conditions. Whereas at a grocery store, they'll sell you whatever you want to buy. So it's, again, really good opportunity to talk to those experts and get set up to be successful. Because at the end of the day, that's what we all want to be, is we want to be successful with the plants we want to grow.
Yeah, and that's what I did last year. I went to Terry Kennedy's, her vendor, it was her husband that I think I bought the orchid from, and I think I mentioned he was rather reluctant to sell it to me because I was keen to buy something small that I could mount because I had this piece of wood that I thought, after seeing all of these orchids mounted on things, I thought, oh, I want to do that. And so I convinced him. I said, look, I want to try it. And I think I paid, I don't know, about $30 for this little teeny tiny orchid. But I thought, you know what, even, you know, if it fails, it's not a huge, it's not like a $300, $500 investment. I thought, okay, no. I am willing to go through the exercise and I'd like to challenge. And so, but you're absolutely right. I got guidance from him. I think all the vendors do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and if you, and you know, we talk about repotting orchids and that sort of thing. So the show put together by the Southern Ontario Orchid Society has vendors that not only sell plants, but they'll sell the accessories. So you'll get your mosses and your barks and your pots and all kinds of fertilizer and good advice as well, because people aren't just going to sell for the sake of selling. They're going to sell again to support your success.
Right. Yeah. No, that's like I said, I had a grand time last year. I was so impressed. It took lots of pictures and was just I was a bit bowled over by the artistry involved. And it was quite something.
Yeah. So that is next weekend in Toronto. And I don't have updated information, but typically there's another orchid show at the Royal Botanical Gardens I'll check it, but it's sometime in February as well. So if you want to avoid Toronto and it's stupid traffic and you'd rather, you're in the Hamilton area, the Royal Botanical Gardens always does an orchid show as well every year shortly after the Toronto show.
Right. And they've got something I think that just started this past week that is, I don't have it in front of me, but the Royal Botanical Gardens has a show that is based on Alice in Wonderland as well. And they've got that going into February, I believe.
Yeah. You know what? This time of year, on a cold, crisp, sunny day like today, there's no better place to go. If you've got access, which most of us do if we look around, you got access, get into a greenhouse. So warm, so humid, and with the sun shining in, so bright and smells like earthy. And there's a lovely Centennial Greenhouse in Etobicoke in Toronto is wide open to the public in a sense that there's no admission charged. And many of the growers that you can walk through their greenhouses. It's the place to be. High humidity and really earthy. There's that earthy smell. So RBG's got stuff going on. Alice in Bloomland, it's called. February 1st. So opening today, right through to the end of March.
Okay. Okay. We were talking a little bit about you were talking about how you grow things in your kitchen right now, and those beans and those seeds. Where are you getting them? That was my curiosity. Where are you getting them?
Well, it's interesting. If you are a person who likes to grow seeds for sprouts, then you use tablespoons at a time. So you want bags with bulk seeds in them, not 25 seeds. And where do you get bulk seeds for sprouting? Interesting, where you least expect it sometimes. Here where I am close to Belleville, there is a garden center that really specializes in bird seed and farm animal food and dog food, all that kind of stuff. And they sell bulk seeds. So I have purchased some there. But I also really, if I don't want to go into town, West Coast Seeds, which of course is out on the West Coast, has a great catalog and can be found on the web very simply. And they have lots and lots of blends. And again, lots and lots of accessories. I mentioned the Go-Go blend. So I will tell you more about that one next week because I'll be eating it within the next few days. So fast. Three, four days. Yeah, and you've got nice sprouts.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, I think we've once again run out of runway here on this February 1st edition of the Garden Show.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. Thanks for the callers that are listening to the callers and call us back with answers to questions. I always love that. Thanks, Owen. It's been a bit of a tough show. You've done a great job. Let's see each other all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.